David, you want to scoot the mic up? She wants y'all to come down there and sit on that bench down there, okay?
Anyway, y'all stand up. Yeah, watch. 181. And we're gonna sing the chorus of this play in between. Janet's gonna play in between. We're gonna sing it through once, and then she's gonna play it a little bit. So y'all sing really loud.
There's certainly something about that name. I sincerely want each and every one of these children and everybody here, I hope they know just how precious the name of Jesus truly is. And if they don't, I want them to find out. He's good. He's good. He's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. The best thing. Bit of good news, I'd say, is little church I grew up going to had a good meeting this weekend. The way I understand it, up until late last night, they've had 5 souls get saved. And boy, that does me good. Had the opportunity this week to go, and not as much as I wanted to, but go and visit with some brethren and fellowship there at the Old Union Minister School some, and I'll say that Brother Collins done a wonderful job delivering a devotional this week, and I appreciate him, and his mannerism and the way he presented his topic was very well. And Brother Collins, I feel very blessed to be called to this church. There's so many here that are so studied and know God's Word. And I appreciate him. But really, mostly through the week, is the topic, more or less, was Jesus. And that should be our topic each and every time we gather together. I've mentioned here before that it's all about him. Everything. I've heard folks say, the lights is burning and the lights is on because of the lost. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe the lights is on and burning to give honor and glory to God. And when we lift His name up and truly exalt Him, that He'll do His work. We've got to leave it up to Him. He knows what He's doing. This morning our thought is simple, I guess, in its context, and I have thought a lot of it this week. And church, I just be honest with you, I want to, maybe down the road, if the Lord will permit us, to get into some things that may be a little bit more food for you older ones, more established ones. But at this point right now, I just need to try to keep it simple. So I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. The Lord may help us. And really and truly what I desire most is I want you to see Jesus this morning. I want the Lord to take me each and every time that I stand behind this book board, and I want Him to take me and just hide me in the shadow of the cross. I want you to see Jesus. I want Him to just take me and hide me. I don't want you to see me this morning, but I want you to hear about Him. I want you to hear about that precious name that we sang. I want you to meet Him. I want you to truly know Him this morning more than anything. That's my desire for you. So I have an interest and a desire in your heart, prayers this morning, and I don't know how long it will be, but I thought about the Sanford family. I thought about Brother Sanford this week and all the splendors of heaven that he's heard about being preached and taught since he was a young boy. He's getting to experience those things this morning. From the very moment that he drawed his last breath, I believe the Bible teaches me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I believe in my heart this morning when he drawed his last breath, that instantaneously that he opened his eyes up in the very presence of God. I believe that. Those things that he was taught, he's getting to experience. Can you imagine being there in his presence? Being there seeing about the one you've heard about the one you've been preached about, all the splendor. But on the same hand this morning, I realize that maybe that we talk about the splendors of heaven, and I want you to know this morning that heaven is the game. I want you to know this morning that there is a place that God has gone to prepare. But as much as I thought about that, I thought
Lord, there's a place out there that if you fail to repent, if you fail to believe in Jesus, there's a place that even Jesus preached about. He told them about. He told them about a place called hell. And this morning, that's what's on our mind. That's what God has put on our heart. And I want to, this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to tell you a little bit about that awful place. I hear some ask and some say, and y'all pray for me that I may be able to bring this out in a way to be pleasing unto God. Pay attention this morning for just a little while. Listen to what the Word of God says. If there's ever been a warning, it's here in God's Word. If there was we see construction signs every day going up and down the road. And my friend, this morning, if you seen that there was a sign out ahead that said, hey, there's a bridge out ahead, you would stop your car immediately and change direction. My friend, I want you to know there's a bridge out ahead, and I'm trying my best to warn you about it. I don't want you to go to that awful place, and more or less, even far more greater than that, Jesus doesn't want you to go to that awful place. I've heard some say, even in past times, in recent times, that they don't understand what conviction is. My friend, this morning, I want you to, I believe in all of my heart, if you've ever been saved, you've experienced conviction. Conviction is a sense of, and more or less in layman terms, it's a sense of guilt. You realize what you are in the presence and the eyes of an almighty God. If you see that you are lost and condemned before God this morning, my friend, the only person that can change that condition is God. I've heard some ask me about something I want to take for a reading this morning over in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Once again, the Pharisees are trying to, if you will, contrap Jesus once again about him healing on the Sabbath day. And there's one that he heals there that has a withered hand, the Bible tells us about. And it says that the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how that they might destroy him. They seen the miracles. They seen and heard everything that God was doing, how that he was healing these. It was very visible, and they seen those things. Yet, they didn't want to understand it. They didn't want to receive it. I want to take here in the 24th verse of the 12th chapter of Matthew. Do pray for us this morning. I have several scriptures upon my heart that I need to get off. It says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought unto desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom doeth your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house, except he first bind the strong man, and then he spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that is greater gathereth not with me, scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And I want to stop there for a moment. And I've had folks down through the years ask me, if you will, about this particular scripture, even here in recent times. And I want you to understand here, these Pharisees, they couldn't understand how it was that Jesus was casting out these devils and different things, and how that he was healing, the Bible says, on the Sabbath hand, these ones that had this withered hand. They couldn't understand it this morning. And what I want you to know this morning, above all things, is you cannot understand unless you've been born again of God. You cannot understand the Spirit this morning. You don't understand how it works in our lives and how we are looking to God through the eye of faith about a promised land that He has gone to prepare for us. It's beyond our imagination this morning. It's beyond our comprehension, even if you will. Now listen, they hung Him up, if you will, and began to question Him all these things. And He says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He said, or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and he will spoil his house. I want to get that just for a moment. But He says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto me. And that word blasphemy means to defame or to slander, damage someone's good reputation, revile or criticize, or to fight against is what that word means. I've had folks ask me, I want you to understand this morning that all sin is forgivable. But when we begin to look about the sin of unbelief, I want you to know this morning that even there on the mount, Jesus preached unto them. He was talking to them about brethren, loving brethren, and speaking unto the brethren. And He talked there, and He said, even that those that that if you call your brother a fool, He said, you'll be in danger of hell fire. Jesus Christ preached about hell. He told them, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to know this morning that Jesus warned them about hell this much. I feel like maybe even today that we as God's people fail in warning lost people about hell. We tell them about heaven and how good that it is, and boy, it is good. But my friend, this morning, as a lost person, I want you to be there trembling. I want there to be trouble in your heart. I don't want you to go home today and rest. I don't want you to go home and feel like you can turn the TV on and just be in comfort. I want you, when you go home, that you have dreams about it. You say, preacher, that's awful. I'd far rather you suffer on this side then you had to suffer for all eternity, burning and burning, because I failed my very best to warn you about that place. I want God to get a hold of you. I want, while you're sitting in school, that hell's all that you can think about. I want, while you're there in your home, that's all you can think about, that God is trying to draw you to a place of repentance. Jesus told him, He said, if you call a thy brother fool, He said, you'll be in danger of hell fire. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He said, all manner of blasphemy and sin shall be given unto man, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. What is He talking about? This morning He's talking about denying and resisting and fighting against the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't understand what that means. There was a man by Stephen over there that he preached unto them, starting back from Moses all the way down through the beginning, and he preached unto them Jesus Christ. And finally he come down to the very bottom of it, and they was fixing to take his very life from him. And he looked there and called out to him, and he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised to the heart, why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? Why?" I want you to understand something this morning, that we've got the Godhead, the Trinity, if you will, the triune God, if you will, that we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Jesus says over there in John, he said, "I and my Father are the same." But Jesus even said over there in John in 14, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. His Spirit may come." I want you to know something this morning, that we don't have Jesus Christ walking around obvious in the flesh anymore. But I want you to know that he laid down his life for me and for you. But when he left, he did not leave us comfortless. He sent his Spirit, that it may dwell within us, that it may convict us, that it may show us what we are. There was a time when I was just a little boy. I got to thinking about that this week. I've said here before that I was a 9 or 10 year old little boy. I finally figured how old I was. I was 9 years old. I was going to turn 10 that November. At 9 or 10, I didn't know I was going this way with it this morning, but I'm just going to follow the Lord. When I was 9 or 10, I was there at Rocky Mound. And even as a little boy, I remember when my daddy died, there was some there in the community that wanted to take us to church. And so we got in a van and we went down the road down there to a little church. And they got me in a room all by myself. They got to asking me if I wanted to go and be with my daddy. Well, what 5 or 6 year old little boy don't want to go to heaven to be with his daddy? You know what they done? They told me to repeat some prayer. I believe they had good intentions. But good intentions can stir up a lot of wrong in somebody's life. My grandmother, I remember calling her on the phone and telling her I thought she'd just shout the house down, and she was concerned about me. 3 years later, she's taking us boys and my sister to revival, and they're taking us, and I'm sitting right up there in the front seat there at Rocky Mound. And I can't recall what that preacher was preaching. I don't remember what he was preaching, but I'll tell you this. The Holy Spirit of God came into that place, and my friend, it convicted me. It got a hold of me, and it showed me that if I died then and there, that hell was going to be where I was going to go. David says in the 116th of Psalms, he says this. Y'all bear with me. I'll get it out the best I can here in a minute. He said, "I love the Lord because he hath inclined my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." He said, "The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell got upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." He said the pains of hell got upon him, and he was brought low. Brother Don, here a while back, he was talking about a time when he got low. My friend, I tell you, there's times in my life that I've got low. But when I was lost and separated from God, boy, I was brought low. I seen myself for what I was in the presence of an almighty God. And the harder and harder that preacher preached, the more conviction that set up in my heart. And I knew. I looked over there and seen grandmother and granddaddy. And boy, I didn't want to be without them. I wanted to be with them throughout all eternity. I love them. But I knew that if I died in that shape, I would spend eternity without them. And boy, they got a hold to me. Even at 9 years old, my daddy done went on to heaven. And I couldn't imagine dying and spending hell, spending all the rest throughout eternity in a place called hell without them. Boy, I got down. I got down. I don't remember what I prayed. I remember I made my way to that altar. I don't remember what I prayed. I remember that night that it was full. I made my way up there. I remember people coming around that had good intentions. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in Him. Trust in Him. Boy, I wanted to. Boy, I didn't know how to. Let me tell you what this right here, what he prayed. He says, I beseech thee, dear Lord, deliver my soul. And you know that's the only record that we have of the prayer that he prayed. Honey, this morning I can't tell you what I prayed. I don't know what I prayed. I didn't even know how to pray. But I'll tell you this. I prayed something, brother, that got through. I don't know what it was. But I got through to him. I don't remember what it was. That thief that hung on the cross, all we've got a record of him saying is, remember me, Lord, when thou enterest into thy paradise. Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, for today thou shalt be with me. That's the only thing we've got recorded that he said. But you know something? God heard his prayer, did he not? God heard his prayer. Now listen to me. You may say, well, preacher, I don't feel like I'm resisting the Holy Ghost. I don't feel like I'm resisting. I don't feel like I'm fighting against the Holy Spirit. If God is dealing with you and He's knocking on your heart, that's Jesus Christ saying, come. Come to me, for I want to give you everything that I've promised you. But if you're sitting there saying, I will not go, I will not submit, I will not humble myself, I will not cry out to God, I will not become a beggar, I will not do this, I will not do that, then my friend, you are resisting the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to understand, you don't always have to resist it. I was telling you about a man named Stephen. There was also another man that blasphemed the Spirit, and he was a man by the name of Saul Tarsus. He would later become Paul. And as he was standing there holding the coats of those that were stoning Stephen, God began to deal with his heart. And he come down there on the road to Damascus. He had a charge to go about, and he went out, and the Lord spoke out of heaven unto him. And he said, why dost thou always kick against the pricks? He said, you've heard the word. You've heard even Stephen cry out and call out to you. You've heard about me. Why is it that you always kick against the pricks? This morning, sinner friend, why is it that you always resist the Holy Spirit of God? He's a comforter. He loves you. But I do want you to understand this morning, that as much as God's love abodes, that if you resist Him, God does not make anybody be saved. I believe in all of my heart, He's not going to push you out of your seat. He's not going to drag you up here to this altar kicking and screaming. He ain't going to do it. Jesus Christ will be glorified and His name will be lifted up. He's not going to make you do nothing. But boy, when that Spirit gets in it, that's His love. That's His love saying, please come before it's too late. Please come. Now listen, I want to tell you a little bit about this place. Hell, what's it like? What was it created for? Matthew and 25 and 41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for me and for you. But because of God's wrath and his foreknowledge and him knowing the plan of salvation, he knew, I believe in all of my heart, there would be those that would resist him and his spirit. I believe in all of my heart this morning that it is not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. I believe that. So what is it this morning? How is it that you say, what must I do to get there? Well, in simple terms, just do nothing. You say, well, preacher, you're being awful cruel this morning. If you want to go to hell, just do nothing. But what is it about us, or what is it in a person that may make them go there? Well, as much as we know about John 3:16, I want to read to you what he says in John 3:18. He says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation. You want to get there? Is that where you want to go? Then you just keep doing what you're doing. I beg you this morning to seek God. I want you to be saved. But on your own account, if you fail to believe in God, put your place, your trust and confidence in Him, then hell is where you'll go. What's it like? How do we get there? He said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 23 and 33 says, "Ye serpents and ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" How can you escape it? Through Jesus Christ. Man, through generations, have tried to make a way to get to heaven. We're almost in the study of Babel in our Sunday school lesson. All the people come together that they might take stone and make bricks and mortar and make a tower to get to heaven. People's been trying to get to heaven for I don't know how long. Probably since the beginning. Trying to make up a way to get there. God said that that wouldn't fit, so he scattered them abroad. He basically said, you're not going to manifest a way to get here. If you want to get here, you're going to have to come through me. People's been exploring space, going out looking for other life existences. They made rockets that they might go out and explore space. There has to be life somewhere else out there, they say. My friend, there is life somewhere else out there. And it's a place that God is going to prepare. I don't believe there's anything else out there. They can explore all them other planets and galaxies and universes and everything else. The only thing they're going to find is just a deep black space of abode. The only way that you're going to reach the portals of glory is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen. How shall you escape? Through Jesus. I want to say this. What is it like there? I'm not going to take up too much of your time. Revelations in the 9th chapter says this. Second verse, "And he opened a bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason and of the smoke of the pit." A bottomless pit. I heard somebody speak this last week in regards to this. And I really began to think about that. Jesus says that that where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I want you to understand what this place is. Really, I want you to get it. I don't understand it all. I've had people ask me, well, where is it? I don't know. Really, I don't. But I believe it's there. The bottomless pit. You say, well, surely a loving God wouldn't send somebody there. He's loving because he's trying to deal with your heart right here, right now, saying, come to me. But if you fail to repent and to believe in his only begotten Son, I believe in all of my heart that place of hell is where you'll go. I thought about that bottomless pit. I don't know if anybody here has ever had a fall before, a big fall. But here a while back, y'all know my story. I was working on that barn, and I was doing whatever I was to do, and I was up there, and I guess I ought not have had a chainsaw, but I did. And I was up there cutting out that wood. All of a sudden, the momentum from my body just fell over. Now, Jessica asked me, she said, well, what happened? I don't remember what happened. But I'm going to tell you what I do remember. As I was falling, the last thing I remember before I hit the ground was, oh, no. Oh, no. As sure as I stand there before you today, I can't remember everything that happened, but I remember that as I started to fall over, that thought came into my mind, oh no. Can you imagine for those that are lost and never been saved, and when they close their eyes in death and they don't remember all of that, but as they open their eyes up in hell, their thought is, oh no. Oh no, what have I done? And they fall forever and ever and ever. Oh no. That's all I can think about this week. Oh no. Lord, it's too late. Oh no, I've wasted too much time. Oh no. And then you fall forever and ever. Where the worm died not, you never die. You never get any peace. The Bible says where there's weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. I certainly believe in all of my heart that there's people there right now that's crying out and weeping. You know what they're saying? I believe now, Lord. I believe now. I believe everything I've ever heard. I believe it. But there's no way out for them. For all eternity, that's where they'll be. Burning and burning. Oh no. Boy, it hurts my heart. I can't imagine that. I'll say this, when the moment that I got my prayer through, there on that altar at Rocky Mountain, a 9-year-old little boy, God took hell as far away from me. I'll never have to think about it in a sense of me ever going there again. He removed it from me. What about you this morning? I want to tell you, there ain't no shame in being a sinner. There ain't no shame in seeking God. I can't make you be saved, and this church can't make you be saved, but why won't you be saved? When God's Holy Spirit is crying out to you, saying, won't you come? I certainly believe that weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you think about that place? I want you to get a visualization of it. It's burning forever. People are falling forever. They're tormented. People's growling and weeping and crying. It's the awfulest mess you ever heard of in your life. Sometimes, some reason we live in a world now that people think they're going to go to hell and just have some kind of big party. Folks, they're going to burn forever in that place. And you want to know something? I won't worry about them no more. You say, well, preacher, that's awful. Not for me. I'm going to read one last thing over here and I'm going to be done. Brother, if you'll get us a song. I'm going to read you an account that's very familiar. A lot of people look at this and they say, well, it's just a parable. I want you to understand something. That Jesus Christ is not a liar. He's not a manipulator. He is all truth. So I believe when he tells me something, to take it as that. Listen to what he says in Luke and 16. In 19th verse, he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass as the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And it says he cried and said unto Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus thy evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed. I certainly believe in all of my heart that there is a torment in heaven. A torment in hell. That those that are there can see through that great gulf fixed. They can see those over there in paradise, their family singing, shouting, praising God. And there they are being tormented forever and forever and forever. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water that it may cool my tongue. I know all this is familiar to you this morning. But honey, I want us to get a sense of how real hell is. It's real. The Bible says that it's enlarging itself daily. You better believe that it's real. Lazarus, when he died, I believe, no doubt, he went to heaven, the Bible says, and he was there in Abraham's bosom. But when Lazarus died, he opened up his eyes in hell. In that flame, and he was tormented. He said, so that they which would pass from thence cannot, neither they pass unto us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, and that they also may come into this place of torment. He said, send Lazarus back. Do you think this morning I honestly believe that there is compassion? That tells me even though he was a rich man, he didn't go to hell because he was a rich man. He went to hell because he failed to believe and repent in Jesus. That's what it is. Do you got an experience this morning? Do you know what it is? Are you willing to be separated from your family and your loved ones throughout all eternity? You say, preacher, that's rough. Listen, I want you to get it today. I want you to get it. Folks, this is serious business to me. I don't come in here to play games. I don't do all of this. We're talking about life and death. You want to live forever? You want to go to be with Jesus? Seek Him out that you might be saved. If you want to spend an eternity in hell, then don't make a move. Don't do nothing. You keep resisting that Holy Spirit that's knocking right here on your heart telling you to come. You say, preacher, I've tried it before. I've went to the altar before. I just can't get it. Go again. Try harder. Pour out your heart. Give it everything you've got. He said, send Lazarus back that he might warm my five brothers. I believe morally that rich man was probably a good man. He let Lazarus lay there at his table. He had compassion. Compassion enough that he didn't want his five brothers to go there. Is there good people in hell this morning? Good moral people? Well, sure. Is there the good old boy down there that'd probably give you a shirt off his back? Yeah, he probably would. But that's not why he's in hell. He's in hell because he failed to repent. Here's what the Lord says. He said, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. He thought, surely if Lazarus was to come from the dead, surely they'd believe him. Folks, we've got one greater than Lazarus. We've got one that came up out of the grave. He's not dead, he's alive. He lives, he sits on the throne on the right hand of God, and you say, well, preacher, I've never seen him. I've never experienced him. Well, honey, you're missing out this morning. I've never laid my visible eyes on him. But boy, he's brought me through a whole lot in my life. You want to feel God for the first time, you get to seeking Him for the salvation of your soul. Even if one was to come back from the dead this morning, if there was to be one walk through that door, you probably still wouldn't believe. You're going to have to seek Jesus for who He is, the Savior of the world. Listen to me. I'm going to finish up here. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one that rose from the dead. We've got God's Word. And when it's accompanied by the Holy Spirit, it can do its work. I pray this morning, my prayer is for you. If you're lost, I don't want you to get any comfort. I don't want you to get any rest. I want you to be just as miserable as you can be. And you say, well, preacher, that's the awfulest, meanest thing you ever heard. Listen, that's what I want for you. I want you to be saved. And if it takes you getting in that condition, that's what I want. As we stand and have a song this morning, if God is dealing with you, won't you come? Don't be like me or like I thought when I fell off that barn. Oh, no. Can you imagine that? Boy, we ain't promised tomorrow. That is for sure. Could you imagine something happened to you? As soon as you walk out them doors, you think, boy, I've got the rest of my life. I've got all the time that I need.
and you walk out that door right there and something happens to you and you die, and then you're like, rich man, you lift your eyes in hell, and you know what I believe you're going to say? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm here forever. I'm never going to escape this place. It don't have to be that way this morning. Seek God while you got the opportunity. Stand and sing this morning. If you don't know Him, won't you come?
392.